4CBA Mobile. 4CBA, this is KG4ZGS. I'm also mobile. I'm on Highway 11 up in the upstate, heading toward, I think I'm in Greenville County right now, heading toward Pickens County.
Pickens County, that's where my father-in-law's people all grew up in Fox Squirrel Ridge in Pickens. They had a 17-acre farm there. Besides driving, what you up to? Name here's David.
David, my name's Chris, and we're actually, I'm heading in the direction of Pickens County, but we're going to go through it. We're heading to see my family in western North Carolina for a couple days, visit them on Valentine's Day. They live west of Murphy, so we're just kind of taking the country drive through the mountains and the foothills, and so that's what we're doing, me and my wife and my son. So we're just driving, dude. What are you up to?
I just finished a tennis match, and we started at 12, played till 1:30. Usually play an hour and a half, and but then there was a guy there. He's a little younger than me, and you know, I wasn't ready to stop either, so we just hit back and forth, and that's a lot of fun because you get more exercise doing that. You get to hit the ball, you know, more often than you do playing doubles. And so anyway, and so now I'm headed to the Starbucks.
Right on, man. It's, that extra 10 is that you're gonna feel it tomorrow. I think I might have talked to you the other day. I was talking to somebody. It was kind of wet outside, like it had just rained, and they were going to go play tennis. That might have been you, David. I'm not sure.
Me? Yeah. We had a little drizzle on our. I live in Taylor's, and on our deck, it was wet. And but then when I started coming south down Edwards Road toward the sports club, which is about 15 minutes from where I live, the road got dry, and you know, so I knew from that the courts were going to be okay. So anyway, so I got to play, but I tell you, January was that was terrible. I think I played once or twice because of the weather and the temperatures. They were just brutal. KP4CBA Mobile.
This is KG4ZGS. Yeah, dude, I knew I recognized you, and then I was about 95% sure when you said tennis. I was like, that is too much of a coincidence. I know I talked to this guy before. I don't think I put it in my notebook. I think I was mobile at the time, so by the time I got destinated, I didn't write it down or whatever, but anyway, since my wife is here, she wrote it down in my notebook for me, so, right on, man. Well, we're gonna go visit my family. My dad helped me install my mobile rig in my car on Christmas Day, and, so I've gotten back into ham radio after a long hiatus, and, this weekend, he's gonna help me install I've got my ham radio on a gooseneck mount, so we're going to install an extender bar for that mount so that I can put a second radio next to it side by side. I've got a GMRS radio. I recently obtained my GMRS license, so I'm interested in checking that portion of UHF out. And I also just got a couple of Baofeng Tri-Band K5 Plus amateur radios in. So I've been playing with those, and it's just Radio Central over here.
That's great. I tell you, need to get on HF. I don't know what's your license class.
I'm embarrassed to say that I've been a technician since 2003. When I first got my license, I was a teenager. teenager, and I definitely was active for several years, but then college and getting married and moving around and doing a bunch of stuff, I got out of ham radio for many years, and my dad just recently got me back into it, so we've kept my license renewed over the last, you know, couple decades, but I just wasn't inactive, so I'm still a technician, but I've reread through all the technician material to reacquaint myself with the knowledge that I had a long time ago, and I've learned a lot more about it, actually. I feel in this last month and a half like a much more capable amateur radio operator than I was even, you know, when I had been doing it for a couple years, or a few years as a teenager there. So, but I am starting to study for my general, and I would like to get into HF. I have limited 10-meter privileges on voice as a technician, but I do want that general license to play on 80 meters and stuff.
I am not a general, and I'd really, especially for 80, I'd like to get my, the extra. So there's not that many bands on the other HF that I'm interested in, but man, it opens up 80 for you. It's you know, I can only transmit in the upper half of the band.
Put on. Yeah, my dad's got his general, and he's currently studying for his extra license. And my mom is studying for her technician license, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, my dad and I we don't currently have a repeater that we can both hit with, like on 2 meters. We got repeaters that come close, but nothing that he can hit from where he's at where I can also hit it. So he said if I get my general license, I can get an HF radio, and we can probably talk on 40 meters with each other like we're sitting right next to each other. So I'm a big fan of 10 meters. Haven't done much of it myself, but I've been in the car, you know, in the truck with my dad when he was on 10 meters and doing that kind of stuff. So 10 meters, 40 meters, 80 meters, I'm interested in seeing what I can do. But yeah, it's just a lot of refreshing of my knowledge, and then trying to cram even more knowledge into my brain.
Getting, the guy was handing me my coffee, and I was pulling out of the line so I could stop here and not be in anybody's way. I'm over here at 291 in East North, the most dangerous intersection in Greenville, believe it or not. And, but anyway, yeah, 80 meters is, there's a net on, 3915 at 7 o'clock every night. And I miss checking into that net, and I had to take down my antenna. I live in a HOA, and we had to cut down some trees that my antenna was in. Mine was just a wire, but it did a fantastic job. I talked all the way to St. Petersburg, Russia, so it was a great antenna, but the neat thing about it was it transmitted vertically as well as horizontally, so I could talk to my next door neighbor on HF. It was just really great. I mean, I could hear them, and you know, a lot of HF antennas, you can't do that.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, that's really cool. You got I guess you had, until you had to cut the tree down, some expansive capabilities there. Well, what are you gonna do now? I'm talking to a guy who's thinking about laying out an HF antenna in his attic. Are you going to think about doing anything like that?
No. I've already bought and put up a Hustler vertical. It's called a 6 BTV. It's a 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 10, 15, 20, 30. 40 and 80 meter vertical. And so I've got it tuned for everything but 80. I'm going to have to take the whip off the top, and I trimmed it, but I need to trim it just a little bit more.
Right on. If you trim it, will it affect your transmission on those other bands other than 80 meters?
Well, I had a good friend of mine who's a lot more knowledgeable than me with ham radio, and in fact, he's the one that got me into ham radio. He said it would affect do it, and luckily I have a ladder. I have one of those newfangled ladders. I guess you've seen them, and you can make it kind of like a step ladder, and then the center of it goes up, telescopes up, and it's not super tall, but this is only a 24-foot antenna from bottom to top, and where I put the ladder, it's on a landing on my deck, so it gives me about a 2 or 3 foot advantage, and that way I can tune all the other bands just with the ladder.
Right on, dude. That's awesome. Well, I'd like to be able to put a base station in my house. I don't really currently have any room. we live in a small country house, and we got a lot of stuff, so it's like I don't even know where I'd set a base station up. But that's why I'm trying to outfit my mobile rig. And I'll tell you what, my dual band VHF UHF is it's not the most powerful radio by any means. It puts out 25 watts on high power, but the combination of that and my mobile antenna, I've gotten spoiled on it, because then when I got these bow bangs, I even got nicer antennas for them, but they're it's a 10-watt radio, allegedly. I've seen videos on YouTube that suggest it only puts out 8 watts. That's fine. Even in my driveway, it's just, like, inside the house is definitely compromised signal-wise, but even out in my driveway, it's just not as good. So I got a little spoiled on my mobile rig, but a base station would probably spoil me even further.
Okay, I'm getting into a noisy section here, so I don't know if you'll be able to hear me. I've got a Baofeng and supposedly 8 watts. I don't know. But it does a good job on transmitting. It's the receive side that's not as good as as most radios. And that's where it's really lacking. It's really disappointing.
My receive is great for the repeaters that I like to hit. I can hear everybody just fine. On the Fleet Talk network, I can't get really into the repeater that well. They said my signal's very weak. And on this repeater, they say I get in there, but there's a little bit of white noise. So it's just not as powerful. But I can hear everybody just fine. Like, I was listening to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net last night. I called in, and now I'm just kind of listening, and I could hear everybody just fine. So, you know, I'm just testing out different capabilities, but yeah, I'm trying to outfit my mobile rig, because that's really as limited space as I have in my car. If you can imagine it, I've got more space for radios than I have in my house.
Can you still copy me?
There's a little bit of static there, and also I'm on Highway 11, so I'm going up and down hills, and I've got mountains on either side of me right now, so how about you? Can you copy me?
The repeater, good. I'm just right here at on White Hampton Boulevard. I give the plant
what do you call it, landmark of Wade Hampton High School. You can see it right there from the road and from Wade Hampton. But anyway, for about 2.5 miles here, it's going to be pretty scratchy.
Right on. And this is KG4ZGS for ID. Your last transmission started out pretty clear. There was some white noise behind you, but then toward the end of your transmission, you started chopping in and out a little bit.
Oh, I started moving. It's just kind of downhill from there. But anyway, when I was your age, you sound pretty young. I didn't have any money and to spend much on ham radio, and all I had was a 2 meter rig. I didn't even have a 2 meter 440. I had an old Aston 4000, bought it brand new at the Ham Fest, and that was back when it was at the Greenville Fairgrounds. It's been a long time ago. But I got my ticket in 81, so anyway. Go ahead, KB4CPA.
Yeah, I'm a little bit younger, but I'm at that awkward point where I'm approaching or in so-called middle age. I'm 38, I'm going to be 39 in just a few months. So, not young, but I'm not old either. I feel old, though. I have a almost 2-year-old son that I'm trying to keep up with, and I had hernia surgery about 14 months ago. So I'm still recovering from that. Never been the same, kind of weak. In some ways I feel old, and in other ways I'm still pretty young. So I don't know. It's kind of that awkward middle age feeling, I guess.
Beautiful. I feel sorry for you. I'm 71, but I can remember 38, and you're a mere child, wet behind the ears. Yeah. That was a long time ago. Let's see. Probably. I'm not even going to think about it. But I retired at 60, and I tell you, God's really been good to me. I've been able to get an HF rig. I got a 7300, ICOM 7300, and put that, bought the antenna from a buddy of mine, Bill ND7J, and I just spilled my coffee all over the floor. Oh, that's why you have WeatherTech and a Forerunner. So that way you just rinse out the map. Oh, man. But now I'm on the side of Wade Hampton. I should be pretty clear in the repeater.
Sir, you're sounding good. Sounds good and clear, a strong signal. And, I'm not trying to bellyache, it's just, I'm not saying I'm old, but, I'm at that awkward, I'm approaching 40, so it's one of the, it's a milestone, but, we'll see how I continue recovering from that surgery. I hope I don't need another one, but, if I can be healthy and strong enough to play tennis at 71, I will consider myself blessed, sir.
I thank the good Lord every day because, I know my days are numbered. Well, everybody's days are numbered, but I figure, my number's coming up probably a lot quicker than yours. And so, I try to make the best of it and that kind of thing. So, and I'm also a musician, so I play a lot of instruments. I sing. Voice is my principal instrument. And, at 71, it's not what it was at 30. The male voice doesn't mature until age 30. Just a little tidbit of knowledge there. But I took, I was a music major in college, and but I got my graduate degree in religion and with an emphasis in worship studies, so I led music all my life in churches and cars too. So it was kind of a neat combination. Oh, somebody's having a yard sale. I might have to come back for that.
Man, it sounds like we got a lot in common there, David. I am also a musician, and I play the violin, and I'm a contra dance fiddle player, and that's what I do for work, is I teach violin, viola, cello, and I have also worked on cars. I don't do any work under the hood, but for several years I owned my own business where I did paint restoration. So I know how to buff a car, and I know how to mix that touch-up paint that looks good, and I worked for dealerships, so I would make their used cars look nicer.
I write down your call sign. Everybody, you know, used to, when I worked at John Finger Mazda, Fairway Ford, places like that, and there was a guy there that did touch-up for us, and he'd charge like $50, and he'd paint like, you know, like the whole front bumper of your car and do an excellent job. And he was very good at what he did. I'm getting a pen because I want to write your call sign down so I can send you an email. Let's see if this will write on a cup here. And give me your call sign again, please, phonetically.
Yes, sir. My name is Chris, and my call sign is Kilo Golf 4 Zulu Golf Sierra. That's KG4ZGS.
I got it. KG4ZGS. And, I guess I can look you up on QRZ, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think I have a login for, I haven't gotten on QRZ, but I do believe that the information that they have is up to date and accurate regarding my email and all that good stuff. So yeah, you should be able to look me up.
Well, I would do it on my phone, but that would mean having to put my glasses on, and it's such a pain. I just go to my tablet, and I still have to put my glasses on, but it's a lot bigger, and you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's another thing when you get my age, you know. But you need more light to see things, and you know. There's just a lot of neat things that you have to look forward to. You don't even have to pay extra for it.
Yeah, right on. I did get on my GMRS to, mostly so I could remember my call sign, because when I get onto that website, it shows it to me automatically. So, I don't have my GMRS radio installed yet. That's what I'm doing this weekend, so I haven't really done much with that. But, yeah, in terms of working on cars and stuff, for my touch-up paint, I used Sherwin-Williams ATX line, which is kind of like a mid-grade paint. It wasn't the lowest quality by any means, but it also wasn't the best of the best, and I never did any clear coat or anything like that. I would just mix up the color according to the paint code on the car, and then touch up chips and scratches that were too wide or too deep to be buffed out. And so I'd try to make the paint look, you know, even, and it would definitely, you know, I could turn a car that looked like an 80 into a 90 or a 95. It wouldn't be 100, but I'd make it look a lot better for the money, and it would clean it up for the dealerships to sell. But yeah, I got out of that work. It was just hard. I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'5", so it's been bending down and squatting down and getting low to the ground to work on cars just and after several years took a pretty good toll on my body. And just I'd work on cars for a day and then have to recover for like 2 or 3 days because I'd be so sore. But yeah, I was one of the few guys around that knows how to buff. Buffing cars is an old school skill. A childhood friend of mine works on cars and he taught me how to do it. So I got pretty good at buffing and polishing and really making cars shine. And you know, it's every car is different, every paint is different, so sometimes you put a buffer on a car and it swirls up the paint, the clear coat, and then sometimes the swirls are hard to get out, so you gotta know what you're doing to minimize the amount of hologramming and stuff like that. But it was an interesting skill, and you know, when I was brand new at it, I you know, definitely had times when I would burn a car here and there. That sucked. I always felt stupid after burning a car. And by the time I was done, by the time I finished, I only burnt like one car in maybe 2 years. So I got pretty good at buffing, but it's yeah, I got out of that business. I still have my paints, but most of them are old. So if I ever got back into the business, I'd have to invest in a new paint kit.
I was going to ask you to come over, or I could come over to you and let you touch up my front end of my 4Runner. I bought this 4Runner new in 23 and didn't have a scratch on it until I took it through this car wash here on Wade Hampton, and they tore up the front of the bumper. It's you know, it's plastic, but it's, and it's a different color from the rest of the car. It's kind of weird, but it's not like it doesn't cover the whole front part up. But anyway, and it's kind of a gray color. I mean, this is, the car is navy blue. It's dark blue. I love it, but I guess I'm just going to have to find, some paint and just do the best I can with it, because it's scratched all the way down to the black plastic that it was when it, before it was painted. So it really ticked me off, but I didn't see it the day of, and they said, well, you have to report it the day of or we won't fix it. And so there I was.
That's the way it goes sometimes. I've had mixed results with, like, especially automatic car washes. If I ever go to one of those, like, you pull in the bay and do all the pressure washing and all that stuff yourself, I always pressure wash the soap brush before I put that thing on my car, just to spray out any grit that might be on the brush itself. But yeah, automatic car washes. I've had a lot of good, you know, results from going through automatic car washes. And like the main dealership that I worked at, they had a car wash for their cars, and I would actually wash, I would take the car through the wash after buffing it just to get all the wax that, you know, like you try to wipe most of it off, but some of it, you know, a buffer flings stuff everywhere, so the car wash would help you get in the crevices and all that, just kind of spray all that stuff off, and then you can see if you can see any swirls that you missed or whatever. And then I had a leaf blower that I'd use to air dry the car, blow all the water out of the crevices and everything to get it as dry as possible before painting. But yeah, dude, like, if, I mean, I know they sell, like, paint markers and stuff. I don't know if you can look up your paint code, because you said the bumper is a different color than the rest of the vehicle, so I don't know if that information is in your paint code or if it's aftermarket or whatever. But if you can figure out what, like in Greenville, there's a Sherwin-Williams, I think it's off of Woodruff Road or somewhere nearabouts. It's a Sherwin-Williams car paint company, and if you had the paint code, you could buy a couple of bottles of paint, and then all you gotta do is squirt a little bit of it into a paper cup, and then squirt some lacquer thinner in it. And, you know, not too liquidy, but just enough to keep it moving. And then use a really fine tip brush to basically drop the paint into the chip or drop it into the scratch or whatever.
Yep, well, it's going to be fun. Yeah, I know a couple of places closer to me that sell paint. One's on Cedar Lane, and that's closer to me, and, yeah, that one. So anyway, I don't know, I can't remember the name of it, but I know exactly where it is. Well, I'm going to have to run. I'm sitting here at my garage, I'm getting ready to pull in, and y'all have a good trip, and enjoy your visit there, and hope to talk to you again soon. Would like to hear some more about your violin. That was teaching your strings, teaching it. We had to know how to play every instrument in the orchestra, but I tell you, violin and viola were just so unforgiving for me. It was awful. I mean, I could get a decent sound out of a cello and bass, but anyway, I got to run. But good talking to you. And y'all be careful out there. KG4ZGS. This is KB4CBA. Clear after yours.
For CBA, David, it's good to talk to you. Good QSO with you this afternoon on our drive. Appreciate the convo. And yeah, man, look me up on QRZ and send me an email or something. And I'm sure we'll talk again. But this is KG4ZGS. I'll be monitoring, but I think it's driving away from that repeater. So.